السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سید الانبیاء والمرسلین وعلى آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین اما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. ایک مرتبہ نہایت احترام و عقیدت کے ساتھ درود شریف پڑھ لیں. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحكم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. آپ لوگوں کی خوش نصیبی ہے کہ آپ لوگوں کی مسجد میں دو جید عالم فاضل امام موجود ہیں. میں کئی ملکوں میں سفر کیا ہوں اور کئی مسجدوں میں میں نے دیکھا کہ سب لوگوں کو ایسے علماء نصیب نہیں ہوتے, اور یہ دونوں علماء مجھ سے زیادہ علم رکھنے والے ہیں. اس لیے میری گزارش ہے, بلکہ وہ لوگ آپ لوگ بھی اگر میری تقریر میں کوئی ایسی بات ہو جس پہ اعتراض ہو تو آپ ضرور بولیں اور اعتراض کریں, کیونکہ میں ان لوگوں میں سے ہوں جو ہدایت کو قبول کرتے ہیں. کل yesterday in my speech I used the word سیدنا for ابو طالب. سیدنا means ہمارے آقا, our master, and I do not say سیدنا before the name of Abu Talib, because according to tahqiq, in the tahqiq, according to the research, Abu Talib did not die as a believer. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him after the i'lan of nubuwwah that accept Islam and I will do shafa'ah for you on the day of judgment, at that time Abu Talib refused and did not accept, and we will talk about that later. So according to research, the correct opinion is that Abu Talib did not die as a Muslim. However, there is a small group of ulama from amongst the Ahlus Sunnah who do believe in the iman of Abu Talib, and therefore it is not a matter that we need to argue about or hold a debate with somebody. We will not be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. So we should leave it at that. Also, yesterday I mentioned the narration of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that in the same manner as Abu Talib asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for water when there was a drought in Makkah Mukarramah, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a young age, in the same manner, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala in Medina Munawwara, after the i'lan of Nubuwwah, when there was a drought in Medina, he would go to the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and just look at the blessed face of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and seek for water from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That through the wasila of this most beautiful face, وَأَبْيَضُ يُسْتَسْقَ الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ, this beautiful bright face through which we ask and we seek water from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala would request that, he himself says that without having to move my tongue, just having that thought in my heart and looking at this blessed beautiful face, water would pour in Medina. And he says, فَمَا يَنزِلُ حَتَّى يَجِيسَ كُلَّ مِيزَابِ. Yesterday I said Mizab al-Madina, but the words in Bukhari are Kulla Mizab, that all the streams of Medina Sharif would start water flowing with water. That would be the situation when somebody sought water from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And I'd just like to point out that in the whole seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you can look through all the books of ahadith, and you will find that in the time of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, whenever they needed anything, they always came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never used to go to the Kaaba or go and perform salah and ask Allah directly. They knew that Allah has sent this messenger to us as a wasila to reach Allah. So all the Sahaba-i-Kiram used to come to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, there is no water." Or, "Ya Rasulullah, I am a poor man, I have no wealth. Ya Rasulullah, I can't feed my children because I have nothing to eat. Ya Rasulullah, my daughter is to be married and I have no itr to give to her. Ya Rasulullah, my hand has fallen off, separated from my body. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, my memory is weak." All these types of needs of the people, they always used to come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, "Okay, before you used to go to the idols, which are ghayrullah, other than Allah, I am also ghayrullah, you are coming to me. Go to Allah." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said that. Rather, he said to the Sahaba-i-Kiram and announced amongst the Sahaba, and this is mentioned in three places in Bukhari Sharif that I have seen myself, "Ke innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti." I am the one who distributes, Allah is the one who gives. In other words, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted and promoted this idea that if you want something from Allah, then come to me, because Allah gives to me and I am the one who distributes. And this is why Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, "Ke bakhuda khuda ka yahi hai dar, nahi aur koi mafar makar." I swear by Allah, this is the only door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no place of running and refuge. Mafar and makar, there is no place where you can run and hide to or you can seek refuge. This is the door. Jo waha se ho, yahi aake ho. Jo yaha nahi, to waha nahi. Everything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes through this door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are seeking something that you cannot receive from the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will not find it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the way of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. And the people of Makkah, even before I'lan al-Nabuwah, had already realized that this blessed and special child, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the non-believers of Makkah, even the mushrikeen of Makkah, they had already realized that this special and most beautiful child is a wasila to seek rain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ek martaba durood sharif padh le. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the country Sham, Syria, with his uncle Abu Talib, and he met with Bahira, which we talked about yesterday. The engagement that occurred with Bahira, after confirming without any doubt that this is the Khatamun Nabiyyin, which was mentioned in the Injil and the Tawrat, he said to Abu Talib that, "Oh Abu Talib, this child of yours, this nephew of yours, he is the Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the promised Messiah that Allah is to send. And he one day will announce his prophethood when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him. And therefore you must return back to Makkah and you must not go ahead to Basra." Because Abu Talib had taken his stock and his goods and his merchandise to go to Basra. And before reaching Basra, they had stopped where Bahira was. Bahira advised that you return, because if the Jews of Syria will find Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see all these signs then they will become jealous that Allah has taken Nubuwwah from Bani Israel and Allah has given Nubuwwah to the people of Makkah, the Quraysh. And therefore, they will attempt to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, you must take him back. So at that point, Abu Talib decided to sell all of his merchandise in that place and he returned back to Makkah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 12. After this, the narration say that Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself said after his Elan of Nubuwwah to the Sahaba Kiram that at that time I began to graze the sheep of the people of Makkah, of the Ahlul Makkah. I used to take their sheep and I used to graze them and look after their sheep. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in exchange of that, I used to receive a few qararit, which was the wealth of that time. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this as a job. And as I have already mentioned before, that this was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was the sunnah of the Anbiya kiram that they all used to graze sheep in their early age, because that would prepare them to lead the people, the ummah, the nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had designated to them. And for Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah that was designated to him was an-nasu kaffa, all of humanity, all of the jinn, all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masharik and the magharib. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger, not only for one specific country, but for the awwaleen and the akhireen, those who came before and those who came after. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then began to work in grazing sheep of the people of Makkah. And in exchange of that, he used to take a bit of wealth. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says that once I went and I was looking after these sheep in the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. And I could see this brightness in Makkah Mukarramah. There was a function going on. So I told those who were working with me that you lot look after the sheep. I am going to go and see. I will go to Makkah where the light is coming from and I'll see what function is going on. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that age, in his teens, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes. And when he goes, he sees that there is bright light, there are people dancing, and he hears the sound of musical instruments. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that as soon as the sound of musical instruments went into my ear, suddenly I had heard something loud in my ears and I fainted. I completely fainted. And he says, nothing woke me up but the morning sun. When the morning sun rose, I woke up. And I told the people what had happened to me. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explains it. He says that whenever I tried to do something or had an intention to do something which would later be regarded as evil in Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped me from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected me from it. Allah did not allow me to listen to musical instrument. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from going near alcohol, or from even liking or even intending to go towards gambling, because gambling was very common at that time, in the time of Jahiliyyah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protected Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all these things which were known as evil. In the same way, once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advised, when he was lifting heavy rocks and lifting them on his shoulder, he was advised by his uncle that ij'al izaraka ala raqabatik, and this is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, that lift your lower garment and place it on your shoulder and then put the rock onto your shoulder. And this will make sure that your skin doesn't get damaged by the rock. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when my uncle advised me that, I lifted my lower garment, but as soon as it came to my knees, just to my knees, I completely fainted. And I was fainted and I fell on the ground. And it's mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up. And it says that after that, he never made intention to uncover his satr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protected Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before the announcement of prophethood from any such evil like this. Now when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the age of 20, a war occurs amongst the Quraysh and the tribe of Qais. Two tribes fall into a war. And this war is known as the War of Fijar. The reason why this war is known as the War of Fijar is because the Arabs, they claimed to follow the way of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, although they didn't, but there were some things that they still followed which were according to the way of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one of them was that they would not go into war or fight amongst each other in the month of Muharram, in the month of Rajab, in the month of Dhul Qa'dah, and in the month of Dhul Hijjah. These 4 months were known as the sacred months, and they would not go into war in these months. Because if you remember, I told you they used to fight and go into war for very small minor issues, and they would remove their swords and start killing each other because it was the time of Jahiliyyah. So these people went into a war, the Quraysh and Qais. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that age of 20, he also took part in that war. And the books of Seerah, they are quite clear in saying that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not kill anyone in that war. But he took part in it because the Quraysh were being wronged. And the Quraysh were on right, on haq. And therefore the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helped the Quraysh. What he used to do, he himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a narration, I used to take the arrows out of its container and I used to give them to my uncles who were fighting in that war. So that's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in that battle. In that battle, the Quraysh became overwhelmed. They became overwhelming and they were to beat the Qais, the tribe of Qais. However, they stopped the war. They stopped the war, and after that, a very important pact and agreement occurred amongst the people of Makkah Mukarramah. And that was known as Halful Fudul. Halful Fudul was an agreement amongst the people of Makkah, the tribes of Makkah, that they will not fight anymore amongst each other. They will remove all types of conflicts and settle conflicts in a different manner than war. They will put their swords back into their sheaths and they will not fight amongst each other. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also took part in promoting that half, that agreement. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam promoted it. He took part in the meetings that occurred. And he was so pleased. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so pleased with this Halful Fudul, this agreement amongst the tribes of Quraysh, that he, in after Ilan al-Nabuwat, used to say that on that day, if someone was to give me red camels, and red camels were known as the most expensive camels at that time, if someone was to give me red camels in exchange of that agreement, then I would have said no. I would have refused the red camels and all the wealth. I would have said that no, I will promote this Halful Fudul. And through that Halful Fudul, the end of the disputes of the people of Makkah occurred. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that even today, yani after the I'lan of Nubuwa, even today if somebody came to me and said to me, Ya Ala Halfil Fudul, O the people of the Halfil Fudul, come to my help, then I will go and help that person. Because he called me by one who was amongst those people who promoted that pact and that agreement amongst the people of Makkah. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became near the age of 25. And at that time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the most handsome and the most beautiful man that lived in the whole world. People used to travel from long places, from distances, just to come and see this beautiful and handsome face, because it was widespread. The beauty of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had become widespread. In the same way as his father, Sayyiduna Abdullah, his beauty became widespread, that a woman from Syria traveled all the way to Makkah just to see her and propose herself in marriage to him, in the same way the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became widespread. He was so beautiful sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala says, كَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي فِي وَجْهِهِ. His face was so beautiful, he says that I have never seen anything more beautiful than the face of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was as though the sun was roaming around in the beautiful face of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوْ كَمَالِ حُسْنِ حُزُورِ هَا کہ گمانِ نقص جہاں نہیں. اعلیٰ حضرت امام احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ says کہ وہ کمالِ حسنِ حضور ہے کہ گمانِ نقص جہاں نہیں. His beauty was so complete that there was no assumption or doubt of any imperfection. Yani his blessed face was so symmetrical. Everything was so perfectly made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there was no doubt, and you could not even assume or think that there is a fault in his blessed face. Yahi phool khar se dur hai, yahi shamma hai ke dhua nahi. Ala Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala is saying that everything that Allah has created, there is always something you can find that may be regarded as a defect. Like a beautiful rose. The rose is so beautiful, it gives such a beautiful scent, but it has thorns, and you may harm your hand when you try to take this rose. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty and the completeness of his beauty was such that he was a rose without a thorn. There were no thorns in his beauty. And then he says, shama'a, a light, when you burn a light, a candle, you will see that there is smoke that exits from that beautiful bright light, which gives light in darkness. That candle gives light in darkness, it brings brightness in darkness. It takes away darkness, but it gives a smoke which is harmful if you breathe it in. And it looks grey and black. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that shama that there is no dhua, there is no smoke. That is the beauty of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Sahaba kiram used to say that he was so beautiful that once somebody asked from amongst the Tabi'i, he asked one of the Sahaba kiram, was the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did it shine like the blade of a sword? Did it shine like the blade of a sword? And the Sahabi would say, La, bal mithl al qamar. His blessed face did not shine like the blade of a sword, but his face used to shine like the bright moon. That was how beautiful Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam became. Up to the extent that his blessed beauty became evidence that he was a true and honest man, and he would not deceive anybody. Abdullah ibn Salam, when he came to the court of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to see whether he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed all the signs that were mentioned in the Tawrat and the Injil. So he came to test Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he says that when I saw the first gaze, when I looked at the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. I saw and I came to know with certainty that this face cannot be the face of a liar. This face cannot be the face of a liar, and therefore there is no need to test and see whether he has them signs. He cannot lie. If he says, I am the Khatamun Nabiyyin, then he is the Khatamun Nabiyyin. That is how beautiful Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. The people of Makkah used to see his blessed face when he used to do any sort of transaction in buying and selling. Just by looking at his face, they knew that he was not going to deceive us in this transaction. Dekhne wale kaha karte hai Allah, Allah. Sayyiduna Imam Hasan Raza radiyallahu anhu says, ke dekhne wale kaha karte hai Allah, Allah, yaad aata hai khuda dekh ke surat teri. Marraani faqad ra al-haq. That was the blessed, beautiful face of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he who saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had seen the truth. He knew that this was the truth. And that's why it had become widespread that this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an honest and a true man. And for that reason, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached around the age of 25, she had lost her husband. Her husband had passed away. She became a widow. She had two husbands previously. So she had one, the husband died, she became a widow, she did nikah, then her husband, her second husband died. So she was a widow and she was at the age of about 40. And she was known as the richest woman in Makkah Mukarramah at that time. And she was so rich that when her goods would be taken to Syria for merchandise, when her stock or her wealth would be coming back, the people of Makkah saw that the most stock, even all the rich men of Makkah, when they used to send all their wealth to go to Syria for business, it all used to go together. And people used to see that the quantity of the stock of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha was more than anyone else's stock. They all knew that she was such a wealthy woman. And not only that, it was also known that Sayyida Khadija was the most wise woman and she was the most pure and clean woman. She had the intellect, she had an intellect which was higher than the people of Makkah. That was the intellect of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Even after Islam, once somebody said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when you speak to Allah, say salam to Allah. Say salam to Allah. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, in the very beginning of when Islam had only been announced, she said that Allah is already salam. Allah is already salam. You can't say salam to Allah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased with that, that she was so intellectually on a high station, and she was so wise that she had all that knowledge. So Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha was a woman that the rich noble men of Makkah desired to get married to. They all wished and desired that she agreed to get married to them. But Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha did not want to get married to any other man. She found that men of the time of Jahiliyyah were not good. Every time she sent a man with her stock to Syria for her business, she found that these men were always doing some sort of deceit. There was always some sort of deceit in the accounts when they returned. There were discrepancies in the accounts. So she had enough with men. But when she heard of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she heard of his honesty, and she heard of his truthfulness, because now he was known as the Amin, Al-Amin. He was known as As-Sadiq, the truthful. His character was so beautiful that everybody knew that this man never lies. Abu Talib himself says, and Abu Talib lived with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until after the I'lan of Nubuwa. He himself says that I have never heard Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever utter a lie. I have never seen Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever deceive anyone. He said that I have never seen him do something of bad character, something that was ill-mannered. Abu Talib said this, and Abu Talib knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was true. He was the true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But knowing is not enough. To know that one is the truth is not enough. Even the Jews, the Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَ. The Jews knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet of Allah in the same way as they knew that this child is my son. So they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the final prophet, but they didn't accept Iman. So knowing is not enough. Unhe jana, it's not enough. Unhe mana, na rakha ghair se kaam, lillahil hamd mein dunya se musalman gaya. So you have to know, you have to accept, and you have to reject the rest. Only then you can say, Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim and I have died as a Muslim. That is necessary. So although Abu Talib knew all of this, he did not accept faith. But the reason why this was because If you look at the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Aqaid, if you look at Ilm-i Kalam, the Aqaid, the ulama of Ilm-i Kalam have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Anbiya-i Kiram from any sort of defect and fault. So the Anbiya-i Kiram were ma'soom, they were free from faults. And it says in the books of Aqidah that the Anbiya-i Kiram were protected by Allah from anything that would move people away. Okay, so they were made in such a way that people would be attracted to them, not that people would move away from them. So for example, if somebody has bad odor and he smells due to sweat, he has a disorder, a foul smelling disorder because of his sweat, then people don't like going near him. People don't like meeting him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would advise them people that you should do ghusl and make sure you remove that smell before you come into the masjid. Because it causes discomfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected all his Anbiya-i Kiram. And the ulama-i kalam say, the ulama of Aqidah say that it is impossible for a prophet to have any such fault. Because their mission was to attract the people to them, not to move them away. And it would be illogical, it would be irrational, it would not make sense for Allah to make a defect into the Anbiya-i Kiram that would move people away, when Allah has sent them to attract people towards them. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free from all sorts of faults. He was so beautiful that people were attracted towards him. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sent a request by Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha to become the person who takes her merchandise to Syria and does business for her. So she wanted to appoint Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to manage all her business. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the advice of his uncles, agreed to that proposal. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed the merchandise and all the businesses of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And then he went to Syria for the second time. And Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha's proposal was that if you become the manager of my business, then I will pay you double that which I used to pay the other people who managed my business. I will pay you double the amount, and I will send my servant Maysara with you as your servant. He will look after you and he will support you and he will do whatever you ask him to do. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this proposal. And now he began to work as a merchant. And that's why we say it is sunnah to be a businessman. Merchandise is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the merchandise of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha to Syria. And this is the second time the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Syria, according to the books that are recorded in regards to his seerah. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Syria with Maysara, and they come to Basra, and they stop in a place where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself on his own goes in the shade of this tree, and he's alone sitting in the shade of this tree. And Maysara goes to see his friends, because Maysara comes regularly to Basra for the dealings of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. And Maysara goes and meets with a priest, a Christian priest. His name was Nastura. Nastura naam tha rahib ka. His name was Nastura, as far as I can remember. Nastura says to him that, who is that man that you have traveled with today? And he says that he is Al-Amin, he is As-Sadiq, his name is Muhammad, he is from the Quraysh, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nastura rahib means priest, he says that I swear by Allah, he is a prophet and messenger of Allah. Because nobody can sit in the shade of that tree but a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is impossible for anyone to go and sit in that shade but a messenger and a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have been seeing this tree for years and years, and I have witnessed that no man has ever sat in the shade of that tree. Nobody intends, it never comes in the heart of a man to go and sit in the shade of that tree. Because that tree is specifically only for the Anbiya Kiram and Rasul-e Izam. And I can see that there are signs mentioned in our books. I can see all them signs in that man. I saw the cloud giving him shade when he came. I saw that the tree bowed towards him when he went to sit in the shade. I know with certainty that he is the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon that, Nasura says that, oh, I wish I was alive when he announced his prophethood. I would not leave his side and I would support him all throughout his mission. And then he tells Maysara that, oh Maysara, take my words of advice and make sure that you never leave his side and you always support him. When he announces his prophethood, the people of his city will go against him and they will drive him out of his home. Make sure that you are there to support him at that time. For if you support him on that day, then tomorrow on the day of judgment, Allah will enter you into Jannah. And therefore you must make sure you take this advice from me. After that, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends his business dealings in Basra and then they return back to Makkah Mukarramah. Now when they are returning back to Makkah Mukarramah, the dealings happened in a very haste manner, very quickly. Yani the dealings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were very good. He was an expert in merchandise. People used to look at him and they used to know that this man can't lie and they were ready to do business with him. And he completed his business dealings and he returned back to Makkah. When he was returning back to Makkah, he made so much profit that Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha says that I had never made as much profit before. The amount of profit that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in his first trip to Syria. And she says that when he was returning back to Makkah, I was sitting on the roof of the house and I could see the caravan, the qafla, the people coming back with their business dealings and their stock and their wealth. And I saw that there was angels, malaika. She says that Allah showed me angels, malaika, that were holding a cloud above the head of this qafla. And whilst this qafla was coming, this cloud was following this qafla. And then I could see that the cloud was actually covering Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So then she said this to Maysara when Maysara came. And Maysara said that you are telling me this. I have seen this since the first time I met him. And I have seen a lot more strange occurrences. And then he tells Sayyida Khadija about what Nastura said, the rahib, the priest. He tells Sayyida Khadija about Nastura. And then after that, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, she feels love in her heart. And she now has the desire to propose Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in nikah with Sayyida Khadija. The whole of Makkah wants to propose to Sayyida Khadija for nikah, and Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha now wants to propose to Sayyiduna Al-Amin Al-Kareem Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens after that, inshallah, we shall talk about tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.